hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. So cool to be here. So glad for you to be here with us today. We are, can y'all believe that we are 1 week out from Christmas? Yeah. Yeah, and we're 1 week out from being in the new building over there too. So that's great. I mean, yeah, it's all good. Like, we love this building. Oh, sorry, babe. We love this building right here. And so we have been over here two different times. Back during the Wuhan and the COVID, we had a water leak next door, and it kind of ruined a bunch of stuff. And so we were blessed to get to move over here and do church for quite a while. And then we got that thing fixed back up and got moved back in over there. And then we had structural damage. And so then we had to move over here. And so I know it's been really cramped, and I know it's really been awkward. It's helped me learn to communicate on all sides a little bit better. And I know it's not been perfect, but man, praise God we had this building or we would have been in so much trouble. We've been able to continue to meet, and so this thing has served us well, and next week we're going to be in the new sanctuary over there. And so, yeah, we're excited. I would ask you to be in prayer for everybody here for this next week, because it's going to be a big move and a big push. And when you got sound system stuff going on and electronics and chairs, it's just going to be a big push getting in over there. And so just be in prayer for all that. It's exciting times about that. And when you get to start talking about Christmas is an exciting time. It's getting here. I live with two women nowadays. My boys have totally moved out and left me with two women, and I'm learning. It's Christmas. It's everything. It's just great. And so it really is fun. And so I'll be honest with you, when Christmas starts to roll around every year, it's our big celebration. It's the birth of the Messiah. You know, it's the baby Jesus in a manger. But if I'm being real honest with you, I start getting nervous about a month out from Christmas. Because this will be the 25th year I've preached the Christmas message. And you can only slice it and dice it so many ways. And so I always start reading it a little bit early, like, Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me something new. Lord, let me go a different way. And so I started reading a few weeks ago, and I recognized, and I knew it, but right around that Christmas service, there's a little story tucked in the front of the Christmas service that we're going to read today. And then when you read through the Christmas story, there's a little story, hasn't been preached a whole lot, right behind the Christmas story. And as I read them this year, I was just like, wow, there's so many messages and so many things that we can learn all around Christmas. And so today, we're going to read this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're actually the parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Jesus's words were this: there's none greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist came, he was a voice crying in the wilderness, he was coming to prepare the way of the Messiah, and we're going to look today at the story of his mom and dad. Luke chapter number 1, we're going to start reading in verse 5. Luke chapter number 1, verse 5 through 15, we'll read that story, and then we will pray. Luke chapter 1, verse number 5 says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. He was from the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. They walked blamelessly in all of the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Now, while Zechariah was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, she will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Father, we just ask you to speak to us today. Holy Spirit, I ask you to have your will, to have your way, that you would use me to speak this message. Let this message be real and relevant. Let it challenge us where we are. Let us see this story in a different light. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. So there was a man. There was a man named Zechariah. And the scripture says that he was a priest. Now, when that word comes into my mind, priest, I have a mental picture of what I think a priest looks like. And for me, when I think about priest, I think about a Catholic priest. You know, he's got the robe, he's got the collar, he's got the deal on. You identify him as a priest. And then also when I think about biblical times, I think about the picture of the high priest that was in my Bible when I was a kid. They got the long robe on. They got the staff. They got the big, tall, cone-shaped hat. They got the jewels on, the linen ephod there. They got this religious. But here's what you got to know today, and here's what the main thing I want you to see today. This kind of priest that Zechariah was not a high priest. He's not with the garb. He's not with the get-up. He was just a common priest. And I want to define to you that word priest. If you look it up in the Greek, here's what that word priest says. It says a person who performs religious duties. A priest. I mean, you know, we're a part of the priesthood of all believers. And you know what this really means? And this really says to you and I that all of us that perform religious duties for the Lord, we're priests. We're just serving God. We need to be serving God. He was basically like a volunteer in the church. He goes to the church, and he's a volunteer, and he is a worker in the church. So here's what I want you to see. I want you to understand the overall theme today is this. Zechariah was a common dude. Zechariah was a common guy. He was common like you and me. Now, maybe some of you ain't quite as common as the others, but we're common folks. And sometimes I feel like when I read these stories in the Bible, it seems to me like these biblical guys and biblical girls, they're up here. And they're the elites and they're spiritual. And but I want you to see God uses common people like you and me. See, this guy, he was just serving in his local church. He was married to one woman. He was married to one woman. He probably had a regular job. He was doing his best to lead his wife. And is doing the best they could to live in a righteous way. And so I want to challenge you today to always understand, here's what God wants from you. You know what God wants from you? You know what God wants from me? For us to live righteous lives and to obey the commandments, all of the commandments. See, I'm just going to talk to you about the commandments for a minute because, see, there is a little bit of this thought process going on in the world today that we can follow part of the commandments, but not all of the commandments. And all of the commandments of God are true. All of the commandments of God are out there and they're available for you and I so that we can live righteous lives and we can live lives that God can bless and God can honor. How many of you have rules for your children at your home? Can I hear you say a good amen? You better, because we're going to talk more about rules and standards for your kids here in just a little bit. But you know what? When my kids and Jennifer's kids, when they don't obey, when they live outside of the commands and the standards and the rules that we have in our house, we can't bless them and they actually get in trouble. And I'm going to tell you, if you and I want to live in the blessings of God, we can't live outside of the commandments. We have to live according to the standards of God, follow them, and then God will begin to move in our life. These people, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're just living life. And they're getting old. Bible says they were advanced in years. Zechariah, this older, common couple, can't have any babies. They go to church. Zechariah goes to church to serve. I want you to see this, and I'm going to take a moment and explain and kind of teach something to you because it's important that we know what Zechariah is doing is some pretty routine stuff. Pretty routine stuff. He's going to the church to burn incense. If you study, you'll know there's 24 different divisions of priests. Zechariah was a part of one of those divisions. And each one of those divisions, 24 of them, they were on duty to burn incense twice a year for 1 week. So what Zechariah's doing is he showed up for his 1 week of service. He showed up 1 week to volunteer and to burn incense. Can I just lay something out there right quick and say that is a great plan for servants and volunteers at the church. Everybody serve a week or two. And then a new group come in and serve a week or two. And then a new group come in and serve a week or two. Instead of having a handful of people that serve all the time, all year long, that keep serving and keep volunteering, it would be much better if everybody took their part in serving or volunteering at the local church. You get involved, you serve, you do something. See, you can be a regular guy. It didn't take a very special guy to burn incense. Come on, somebody, how many of you can strike a match? How many of you can zippo a lighter? Just a little bit, just serving. When everybody starts serving, man, I'm just going to say it one more time. Shout out to the volunteers we have at the Bethel Assembly. They get here early. They show up early. They stay later than anybody else. They pick up trash. They drive golf carts. They greet you. They serve. Some of them you never, ever even see. Thank God for volunteers. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Can I go ahead and say it? Everybody that calls a particular church their home, they should serve at that church at some point. Because if you don't serve, you miss out on the joy of what God is doing in you and watching God do it through you. Talk to the coffee bar people. Talk to the greeters outdoor. Talk to the people that drive the golf cart. Just a smile and a hey, howdy, God bless you. You can watch people light up and you can see God begin to use you. Zechariah, common guy, he goes into church. And when he gets in the church, the angel comes down and the angel says, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. Can I just tell y'all something this morning? How many of you are praying some prayers right now? Praying some prayers for you, praying some prayers for somebody. And sometimes we pray and we feel like God doesn't hear our prayers. I'm going to tell you, God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. His ear is attentive unto our cry. You know what? Keep on praying. God hears your prayers. Let me get a drink. How many of you know decongestants are the devil's advocate? You got to have them, but they dry your mouth out. He served. God. Zechariah served, and the scripture says this, that they were old and that Elizabeth had never had any children. She was barren. She couldn't have children. You know what? Back in the biblical days, there was a lot of value put on a woman having children and bearing children and raising up children. And how many, you know, though, can I just say this to you folk that are you gals and families that are trying to get pregnant? Don't give up and keep trying. Don't give up. Come on, somebody. Don't give up. Keep trying. Don't give up. Keep trying. Don't give up. Keep trying. These people were old. But how many of you know what is impossible with man is possible with God? And sometimes we start seeking this thing so much. You know what I mean? I'm sure over the years, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were just wanting a baby. Just wanting a baby. Just got to have a baby. Just got to have a baby. And they're praying and praying and praying. And how many of you know sometimes we get to seeking the thing too much rather than seeking him? And we get all messed up. And it's so funny in church. I think about these people that I know in this church. They wanted to have children and they couldn't. They wanted to have, and they prayed, and they were depressed. And finally, when they got to the point where they said, you know what, maybe we're not going to have children anymore. Guess what happens next? Boom, they're pregnant. It happened with Jennifer and I when we lived in Guthrie. Man, we decided we're going to have kids. We want to have kids. Man, and we're trying, and we're trying. And Jennifer had some struggles, and she just never could get pregnant. And we were frustrated and thinking, is it going to work? Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? And this is how funny God is. We were about to move from Guthrie, and so we decided, well, now ain't the time to have a baby. Jennifer, maybe you better get back on the pill. Jennifer got back on the pill, and a few weeks later, she got pregnant with our oldest son, Will. It's just the way it does. And so I think the message in this is that we cannot seek the answer to our prayer. We have to seek the one who can answer our prayers. And when you seek God, it becomes a game changer. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. So Zechariah gets up, heads to the church. It's his turn to go serve. He goes, he burns the incense, and while he's in church, this angel from heaven comes down and is standing right there, and he gets scared to death, which I'd love to see an angel show up at this church. How about y'all? Some of y'all would, some of y'all wouldn't, right? Because here's what would happen if this angel from heaven that's been in the presence of God showed up here in all of his glory, 90% of y'all would be out the door right quick. But obviously this angel sees the fear on Zechariah's face. He goes, hold up, dude. Like, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. God's heard your prayers, the ones you've been praying for, you know, 40, 50, 60 years. He said, God's heard your prayers, and today he's going to answer your prayers because your wife is about to get pregnant. Your wife is about to get pregnant, and she's going to have you a little baby boy. I want to take a moment and say this right here. If you ever were concerned, or if you ever had any kind of question in your mind, if Bible-believing Christians are pro-life, I'm going to tell you, 100% Bible-believing Christians are pro-life. There is no way that you can deny it. There's no way around it. I want you to see and hear the heavenly words that were spoken over John the Baptist, and his mama isn't even pregnant with him yet. I want you to hear the plans that God has for this little baby boy before she is even conceived. I'm going to read it again, Luke chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Can I tell you, children bring joy. Children bring joy, and children bring gladness. Never, ever, ever forget that. Can I encourage you parents who have littles right now? I know, remember them days, Tubby, when you had the littles? I remember one time when we first had Will, and Will was a handful then. He's a handful now. And one time Jennifer called me on the cell phone. She said, I don't need to talk. I don't need to discuss, but you've got to come get this boy right now, or I am going to hurt him. I got to have a break. And sometimes when you have littles, man, they get on your nerves, and you have little ones and they're driving you crazy. Can I just tell you this? Always choose joy. Children are a joy. Children bring gladness. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Listen to these words. This child, before he's in his mother's womb, he's going to bring joy. He's going to bring gladness. And in verse 15 says, this young boy, he is going to be great in the sight of man. How many wants to raise up some great kids? Come on, somebody. They don't have to be perfect, and they're not always going to mind you, and they're going to get some things wrong. But I believe God gives us children so they can rise up, and they can grow up, and they can be great, and they can be world changers. And you know what? It's okay if they're just like Zechariah. It's okay to raise up some sons that'll just be daddies. It's okay, mama, for you just to be a mama. If you want a career, you can have a career. But it's okay to be a common man and a common woman and come together and have common children that will change the world we live in. It was good, Cole. Yeah, it was really good. You want to raise great kids? Here's the deal. You know what they did? There were some standards that this angel said to Zechariah and Elizabeth. He's going to be great, but you got to raise him this way. You got to raise him according to the Nazarite vow, and he can't do these things, and he can't do these things. I'm going to encourage you, parents, if you want to raise up great kids, set some standards in your home. You want to raise up some great kids? It's okay to whip their butt. Whip their butt. Whip their butts. I'm not saying beat them. I'm not saying abuse them. It's okay for you to take things away from them. It's okay for you to ground them. It's okay for you to get onto them. You know what? We got to have standards for our children if we want them to grow up and be great. And I'll just go ahead and say it. While I'm there, I'm on a roll. I'll just go ahead and say it. Can I just go ahead and say it? I'm alarmed at how some people try to raise their kids and then wonder why they act like little outlaws. Come on, somebody. Like, it's okay. You can love your children. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God chastens those that he loves. That means if he loves us, he'll chasten us. He'll paddle our butt. And if you love your children, paddle your children's butt and make them mine and set some standards for them. Teach your children from a young age to obey the commands of God. Teach them to honor God in the way they live. I promise it will give them a head start when they get out on their own. Zechariah gets this message, and he gets these directions from the angel. And then how does he respond? Woo! Praise the Lord! No. He'd been praying for it for years. God tells him it's going to happen. And what does he do? He doubts. He starts doubting. Let's read it again, Luke 1, 18 and 19. And Zechariah said to the angel, how's this going to happen? I'm an old man, and my old wife, she can't handle babies. She's old too. They doubted God. Can I say something to you about doubt right quick? I don't think we preach about doubt a whole lot. But let me ask something. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you sometimes just doubt what's going on? If I'm honest, I'm your preacher, and sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I doubt what's going on. I want to tell you something, and here's what gets crazy. People say, if you doubt, you've lost your faith. If you doubt, you're not, no, here's the deal. All of us doubt once in a while. There's this guy in the Bible named Peter. He was an apostle. He was a really pretty cool dude, and he watched Jesus come walking on water, and he stepped out of the boat and walked on water as well. He saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, and there's this time in the scripture when Peter says to Jesus, would you help my unbelief? Peter admitted sometimes we struggle, we doubt just a little bit. I just want to encourage you, you may doubt your circumstance, but never doubt your God. You may doubt what's going on here, but never doubt God, because he's always on your side and he's always behind the scenes doing what's best for you and I. Here's the deal. We sometimes doubt, and here's what happens to Zechariah when he doubts, and it's almost comical. It kind of makes me laugh. Luke 1, 20 through 23. Zechariah's like, how's this going to happen? I'm old, she's old. In verse 20, and behold, Zechariah, you're going to be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place. I've prayed that prayer for some of y'all before, that you would be. And behold, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were outside. This is all going on inside the church. He's meeting with the angel. He's burning incense. And the people are waiting for Zechariah. And they were wondering, what's he doing in that temple so long? How many of you know, can I just say this right quick? When the Lord starts moving in the church service, time goes out the window. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you the truth. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe some of y'all have gotten comfortable with these cushy little 55, 60-minute services that we have over here at 8, 9, 30, and 11. But I'm just going to let you know, when we get over yonder and we get more room and it starts at 9 o'clock and it starts at 11 o'clock, there's going to be some room for praying. There's going to be some room for the Spirit of the Lord to move. And the service is probably going to last longer than 55 minutes. He's in the church. The angel shows up. And here's the funny part. He comes outside to where they're praying, and the sucker can't talk to him. He just had this encounter with an angel, and his tongue won't move. Won't work. So he's making these signs, and he's telling them, you know, I don't know what he's doing, making these signs. And then I love verse 23. It says, and when his time of service was ended, he went home. This is cool for me. He's there, serving, angel, prophecy. And when he gets done serving, he goes home. He didn't go to the temple. He went home, went back to his house. He went back to his plain old home. He went back to his common life. He went back to his ordinary life. He went back home where there were chores to do. He went back home to go to work. He went back home and he was living and loving with his wife and trying to lead her and honoring God. He just went home and he kept living and loving life. And the whole time, he can't say a word. That's the funny part. He goes home and he can't say a word, and however he explained it to her, I don't know, but he tells her, writes it on a tablet, says, hey, babe, you about to get pregnant. You know what causes that. Let's go. And so he goes, and him and his wife have sex, and guess what? She gets pregnant at the end of their life. Luke 1, 24, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. She had a baby. Boom, y'all hear that? Everything that the angel said to Zechariah, it came to pass right there in one moment. John the Baptist was born. Here's what I'm going to close with these points. John the Baptist, whom Jesus said none was greater, the one that would prepare the way for the Messiah, he would actually baptize Jesus. John the Baptist was born to two common elderly people who served and loved God with all of their hearts. Two common people, and they were elderly. I want to take a moment, and I want to honor the elderly people. You classify yourself. But you know what? And I'll talk about David Hager, because David Hager has served here a lot of years, and he's the oldest one here, you know, that's kind of around here on a daily basis. And he struggles all the time with feeling like he's too old, and feeling like he's done, and feeling like nobody can relate to him, and he can't relate to anybody else. And I just want to say to the elderly people, man, you know what? We need you to show us how to honor and serve God. I think about my father-in-law, Milton, back there, just faithful man and a good man, and we need you to sow into the lives of the young people. How many of you know younger generations, that there's something that the older generation has that we need to tap into? It is actually scripture when it says the older men and the older women are to teach the younger men and women. I'm telling you, you are never too old for the Lord to use you. You are never too old to be worthy of being chosen by God. Age is just a number. If you are still alive and you are still breathing, God has you here for a reason, and he is using you right now. Choose joy in that. John the Baptist was born to two common people. Two common people experienced the supernatural power of God. Aren't you thankful we serve a God that is still a God of the supernatural? Conrad, y'all come help me close. Two common people who had some doubts but just continued to be obedient to God. Two common people who sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and because of that, God added to their lives in a way that was mind-blowing. I'm going to ask you, if you would, as the worship team comes, to just bow your heads for a moment. I just want to challenge you with a few words. Because I think most of you are like me, we're really all alike in here. You know what God wants for us? To just live and love life right where we are. Just live and love life right where you are. Probably Zechariah and Elizabeth, they could have complained, they could have griped, but they just love life. Love life in a little home. Love life with a little old pickup. Love life. They love life where they were, where they are. And you and I, we got to not despise living humble lives. We got to not despise living common lives. Just common lives. Just live life. Love life. Honor God. Love your spouse. Love your kids. Cook another mundane, boring meal. Go to the barn and feed your dogs. Go to the barn and feed your horses. Just common life. Wash another load of dishes. Wash some more clothes. Just do what you do. Sweep the house. Mow the grass. Common life. Get up and go to work. Yeah, that job ain't the best, but it's a job, but it's putting some meals on. But just common, just common, just common. Just live where you are, but make a choice to say, wherever I live, I'm going to live righteous in the eyes of God, and I'm going to obey the standards of God. And I'm just going to keep on praying. I'm just going to keep on praying. Serve, honor, obey God, seek him first. I really believe you and I will be amazed. I really believe you and I will be amazed if we just started seeking God first. Just seeking God first. He always sees and he always hears our prayers. God takes common people and uses them in mighty, mighty ways. I'll remind you one final thing and then we'll pray. God has great and mighty plans for us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for the ones born and the ones unborn. We got about, I'll just take a moment here and pray with this, and then you can go ahead and stand on your feet, but I want to pray for the babies, man. We got about 8 mamas in here that's pregnant in here. Something in the water, either that or some of you men have seen an angel of the Lord in church. I don't know. But we're just thankful for children. There's plans for your children. Lord, I pray you protect and bless and cover and keep and anoint and guard. Send your angels over the babies, Lord. The babies that are in their mama's tummies today, but the babies that are not even conceived yet, that you have plans for. Lord, I pray you would just challenge and encourage mamas and dads to just keep on, keep it on. Because you have plans. Let our children be great. Let our children and our grandchildren be mighty, Lord. Let them be world changers, Lord. Let us learn from this lesson today that there is so much power in common life, common people, trusting and loving and seeking the kingdom of God. Lord, speak to our people. Speak to me. Speak to all of us as we close in worship today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.